It's time for our weekly catch-up with ACT Party Deputy Leader Brooke Van Velden.
So again, this is another of our weekly segments. This is the first of one for 2022, where I will speak with the Deputy Leader of the ACT Party, Brooke Van Velden, discussing the hot political topics of today and tomorrow and how one of our most important minor parties feels about them. Earlier today, Brooke and I chatted about the government's approach to the Russian invasion of the Ukraine and the easing of self-isolation requirements for double-jabbed Kiwi travellers. What is the ACT Party view regarding the government's present approach to the Russian invasion of the Ukraine?
I think what we need to see is some clear answers about, sure, we've got some humanitarian aid going to people in the Ukraine, but what more could we be doing to play our part in the global effort to make a stand and say that Russia's unprovoked attack and aggression is unacceptable? And I think we need to make sure that people who have family members in Ukraine are able to have them come to New Zealand. And in the particular case of businesses, like a business I was talking to just this week, 30% of their staff live in Ukraine and will be displaced if war and invasion continue. They are actively asking to be able to bring those employees to New Zealand, not just because they're employees, but because they want to be able to provide a safe place for them as refugees. And they've offered to host them by providing homes and accommodation, health care, all associated travel costs and mental health counselling if it's needed. These people will not be a burden on New Zealand, but they'll be welcomed with open arms with their colleagues. And I think we need to make sure that people in that situation can come here if they're being assisted.
Is what you were describing with regards to allowing family members of Ukrainians that are in New Zealand to come here, is that similar in any way to the yesterday's announcement from the National Party calling for the introduction of a special humanitarian visa?
In some ways it's quite similar. I don't necessarily believe there needs to be a new visa that's created. I agree with the concept, which is that there will be refugees, and bordering countries are doing an amazing job to open their borders with the flood of people that will be escaping a war zone. And we need to play a part too, because there are a small Ukrainian population in New Zealand who do have active connections. And I think we can play a small part in helping to rehouse some people. What I think we currently already have as an avenue is people should be issued a critical purpose visitor visa. And then once they have come and arrived in New Zealand, the minister could then make them eligible for residence as refugees. And this isn't a new pathway that we'd need to create. It's something that already exists and was used last year when we had people arrive from Afghanistan.
So this is a different sort of process to, I guess, the traditional refugee process where there's significant government and NGO involvement with regards to ensuring that those who are benefiting from the scheme get settled properly. This is something that's led more by the families of those who and funded by them. Could you just speak a little bit more about how this is funded and, I guess, the differentiation between what you're describing and the traditional refugee program?
Well, I think that the clear difference here is that usually a refugee program happens through the UN and through community organisation groups. What we're saying is that, you know, for some people it might be very hard for them to get into those places, but it's also, we're in a very different situation where we can provide care and access to people who already have a family connection here, rather than the millions of people that will be better served by neighbouring countries. So if you have, you know, for example, your mother or father might be still in Ukraine and you live here, there is a mental well-being aspect that could be created by allowing that particular person with connections to come here. The business idea is something that hasn't been explored properly before, but it's very much in line with the ACT Party's policies for refugee resettlement from years ago, which is that if community groups or businesses are able to provide accommodation, provide business support and employment, provide all associated costs and healthcare, we should be allowing them to apply to resettle refugees, because I think that that is a good for the whole world.
So your plan emphasises the existing context for potential refugee settlement rather than their particular needs per se.
Well, I think it's important to acknowledge our role and where we are in the world. You know, for most people, it will be better for them to leave to a nearby territory or area where they would be able to be resettled back to their homes if that's what ends up happening and is better for them. But in the particular case of having a connection already here, I think people can understand that when people are being resettled in different countries, there would be a more of a benefit for that person not to end up, for example, in Poland or another Eastern country, but to be here with their family connections to help them through that time.
How does the ACT Party view Monday's announced easing of self-isolation requirements for fully vaccinated New Zealanders?
Oh, I think it is wonderful that more people will be able to come back through the border without the need for going through MIQ from Australia. I think it needed to happen a lot sooner. What we're seeing is thousands, tens of thousands of cases every day in New Zealand now, and only a handful of people testing positive at the border. There is no real reason why we should have been shutting people out and putting them through a costly process to get back through the border when it was of no real added benefit to New Zealand. It had to go. But what we would say is that we would like to keep going even further, and we need to weigh up the costs and benefits of the self-isolation policy that we currently have now. There's no reason that people need to isolate for 10 days at a time. If they can get a negative test within 72 hours of being at home and isolating, they should be able to negative test and go back out into the community. And that's the same for people who are still needing to self-isolate when they come back through the border from other countries. It should be a 72-hour negative test and get out. And I think that's the best way that we get through this problem that we've had closed borders for so long. We've had tourism really suffering, international students unable to come back. We need to move on and allow us to reconnect with the rest of the world.
So to clarify, the ACT Party believes that the opening of the borders further to non-citizens and non-permanent visa holders should happen immediately.
Well, MIQ has got to go, and we do need to reconnect with the world. We do need more than just New Zealand residents to be able to come home. We need tourists to help our economy, and we need tourists to help all of those small businesses who have been really, really struggling. I don't see what benefit there is for keeping people locked out of New Zealand when we have one of the highest COVID rates currently in the world. You're more likely to catch COVID here than from somebody entering the country.
That was the deputy leader of the ACT Party, Brooke Van Velden, discussing the government's approach to the Russian invasion of the Ukraine and the easing of self-isolation requirements for double-jabbed Kiwi travellers. Thank you so much for coming on, Brooke. I really enjoyed speaking to you today, and I'm looking forward to our conversation next week, as I'm sure many of our listeners are too.
That was Deputy Leader Brooke Van Velden from the ACT Party.